but to worship He who is the King of Kings, and to remember the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, who gave Himself for you and I so that we might have our sins forgiven and live forever with God. Thank you for being here today and for being a part of our worship and praise to our Father and to His Son. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 35. And as you're turning there, I'd like to share a couple of memories with you from my childhood. When I was a young man, probably in junior high school, my dad decided we needed to spend some time together doing some things that he liked to do. And a lot of that, I think I mentioned the other day, a lot of that involved working, but occasionally he would take me on a camping trip. And we took several camping trips when I was growing up in Colorado, up into the high country in Colorado. And we had an adventure every time we went, that's for sure. I remember the time we pulled our little pop-up camper underneath a nice pine tree and spent the night there. Unfortunately, it was the same pine tree that a hoot owl roosted in and kept us up all night, screeching and hooting and all that sort of stuff. So that was a little bit interesting. I remember the time we went up to the Rio Grande Reservoir in the high country of Colorado, 12,000 feet above sea level, and got to catching trout, and just one right after the other. Unfortunately, it was a place where the snakes also like to catch trout, apparently, and they decided they didn't like us there, and they ran us off. I remember that. I remember pulling up into a place, a campsite at Bear Lake in the high country of Colorado, and there was a beautiful campsite, and we pulled up, and we were going to set our little trailer up there, and a big bull buffalo came along and decided that we weren't going to set up our campsite there, and so he chased us off, and we didn't. So those were some of the kinds of adventures that we had. But I remember one trip we took to a little place called Cottonwood Lake, way up in the mountains of Colorado, a very secluded place. And I remember driving on a dirt road to get back to this lake. And it was in the early fall, and the aspens were starting to turn with their gold-colored leaves. And we get back to this beautiful lake, and it was just, the top of it that day, it was just this as smooth and beautiful as a sheet of glass. And there was a huge mountain cliff on the other side of it. Just the most picturesque view. You couldn't paint a painting any more beautiful than that was that day, as it's etched in my memory. And I remember we're fishing in the lake together, and all of a sudden we look over at the cliffs on the other side, and a large herd of Rocky Mountain goats are making their way down that cliff, and we watched for some long time as they made their way all the way down and got down to the lake to get a drink of water, and then made their way all the way back up. Just a beautiful sight. I know that there are places that I have been that I really enjoy being, where I will never again walk as a living man. I'd like to go back, but sometimes you just can't. Spiritually, there are places we may walk that are places of great grandeur and beauty and fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And maybe we've left those kinds of places behind at one time or another, and we just wonder if we can ever get back. Our lesson this morning is one that encourages all of us to go back to that place spiritually, that place of beauty and wonder and awe in our relationship with our God and His Son, Jesus Christ. A place where, if we are Christians, all of us at one time have been. And I'd like to use as a text for our lesson to begin this morning, Genesis chapter 35, and I'm going to look at verses 1 through 7, but just start at verse 1 with me. God said to Jacob, "Arise and go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." God tells Jacob, "I want you to go," in so many words, "back to Bethel, a place where we've met before, a place where basically, you got to know me before. I want you to go back there and erect an altar to me. Go back to Bethel. And in Jacob's life, I think his first encounter with God at Bethel would be that beautiful place where he makes a covenant with God and God makes himself known to Jacob. Be that beautiful place in Jacob's spiritual life that he needed at this point in his life to get back to. And you might want to turn back over to Genesis chapter 28, which gives us the record of that first visit that Jacob made to Bethel. Jacob comes up out of Beersheba and goes toward Haran. And in verse 11 of Genesis chapter 28, he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top reached to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. What an experience. Jacob dreams this dream, sees this ladder, angels of God ascending and descending right to where he was. And the implication is that God is with Jacob, that he is having his heavenly ministers work in the service of Jacob and accomplish things in his life, whether through providence or miracles or whatever it might have been. Jacob had a direct line and access to the power of the God of heaven, and God promises him that he would be with him. And Jacob awoke, it says in verse 16, and Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? And as I said, we can think about places we've been in our lives, memories that we have of places that we've been. And we might say, how awesome was this place? But to Jacob, this place was filled with awe. Here, Jacob enters into a covenant relationship with God. Here, Jacob is closer to God, perhaps, than he'd ever been before, and maybe than he would ever be again. What a great experience. Surely God is in this place, he says. This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. How'd you like to stand at the gate of heaven? What a place to be. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And the word Bethel in Hebrew means house of God. Here's where God dwells, and here's where Jacob really meets him and understands what God is going to do with him and for him. And so in verse 20, Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in the way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Here you see Jacob making a commitment that God is going to be his God. That not only is God his promise, will God do some things for and through Jacob, but Jacob is saying, if you do these things and if you're with me, you are going to be my God, and I'm basically going to serve you from now on. Here's a vow that Jacob makes to God. And it says, and this stone, or he said, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So Jacob makes a vow that God would be his God and that he's going to give back to God some of what God has given to him. If you're a Christian this morning, you've had a similar kind of experience with God, haven't you? Where you've come into His presence, you've realized what it is that He has done for you, what He's promised to do for you. You've accepted His terms and you've said basically, God, if You will forgive me of my sins, if You will promise me as You have this home in heaven, You will be my God. As You have sacrificed Your Son on my behalf, You are my God. And I commit to being a child of Yours, and I commit to honoring You as God. That's the kind of thing that we as Christians have all done at one point or other. And that's the basic sort of thing that Jacob was doing here. Can I ask you, have you been true to that commitment? You remember how it was when you first became a Christian? Remember how it was? Oh, you were going to live for Jesus? And you're going to pray all the time and you're going to talk about Him to others? And you're going to live a righteous life and you're going to stand up for Him when peer pressure came? And you were so thankful for your salvation and for all that God had promised to do for you? You remember that? Are you still there? Or do you need to go back? In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the wise man Solomon gives us this inspired advice. He says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God. And yes, the Hebrew there is Beth-El. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God. And draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth. Let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. You skip on down to verse 4, and he says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Have you promised to give yourself to Jesus? Is that what you promised when you became a Christian? That's what I promised. I took Him as Lord of my life. We sang this morning, King of Kings. Of Lords He is the Lord, King He is the King. That's what I took Him to be when I became a Christian. How about you? Did you make a promise to Him, a commitment to Him? Have you been true to that? Tell you what, when you go to the house of God, Solomon says you better keep your vow. When you come into His presence, you need to keep your promise. And so Jacob, and maybe some of us, need to go back to the house of God. Need to renew that vow and remember the commitment that we made. And make the covenant anew, if you will, to live for Jesus. The thing about God is that He's not only a God who allows U-turns, He encourages them. He's the God who, if you're going in the wrong direction, wants and expects you to turn and go back to that place where you were with Him. And so, with that as a backdrop, let's think about getting back to Bethel with Jacob. God commanded, as we saw in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1, God commanded Jacob to rise and go to Bethel. He called him back to the place where he had started. It had been 20 years. By the time you get to Genesis 35, it had been some 20 years since that Bethel experience in Jacob's life. And Jacob, I think, in a lot of ways, had gotten far away from the Lord. His house had gotten mixed up in idolatry. There were things that Jacob had experienced and done that were maybe not all that should have been. Now God is calling him back to his house. And again, some of us may find ourselves in this same condition, even this morning. It's not a new experience for Christians to drift, to wander away, to not be as close to God as they were to begin with. Think about what Jesus says to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, "I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from when you have fallen, repent and do the first works." The Christians in that church needed to go back to the beginning. Need to go back to that first relationship with God. They needed to remember. Think back to where the Lord found you and what He did for you, how He saved you by His grace, and how through obedience you, in faith, latched on to that grace. Remember and realize that more than likely, He deserves better than He is getting from each one of us at this point in our lives. Remember what we were saved from? Remember how bad it was before you became a Christian? In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul reminds these same Ephesians that John is talking to in Revelation 2. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 to these same Ephesians, he says, "You He made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience." The Ephesians had been lost and in complete and utter darkness. And they'd been called out of that into the light of God. By grace they had been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, he goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. So the Ephesians had been as low as you could go, and God had brought them up to being saved by His grace. And now, as you look at Revelation 2, they were drifting away from that. God, through Christ, is calling them back. Remember. Remember where you were. Remember how it was when you were first saved. Remember your first love. God calls Jacob. God calls the Ephesians to return. And again, His call is the same today to you and me. We all need to come to a place, if we, like the prodigal son, have left our father's house, we need to come to a place where we come to ourselves and we recognize that where we are is not where we want to be. How many servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare? And I'm dying here of hunger. This is not where I want to be spiritually in my life. Am I talking to somebody this morning who's not where you want to be spiritually in your life? Who's out in the world starving? Who needs to go back like the prodigal? And what you'll find is, like the prodigal son found, that if you'll go back, God will be waiting. And you can renew that fellowship and the wonderful life in the house of your Father. The promise that God made through Malachi in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7 is this: return to me and I will return to you. The prodigal son's father, while the son was still a great way off, saw him, ran to him, fell on his neck and embraced him. James 4 and verse 8 tells us to draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. He's not that far from each one of us, no matter where we are. And that place that you were at one time in your life as a Christian is not that far. You just need to return, to decide to return. And to repeat the things you did to begin with. The Ephesians were told to go back and do the first works. God's call to Jacob and to the Ephesians is exactly the same. God tells Jacob, you go back to Bethel and you build an altar. Well, that's what Jacob did basically to begin with. He set up this stone of memorial. He worshiped the Lord. We need to get back to our first love. For the Lord is calling us back to that relationship. Getting back to Bethel involves respecting the commands of God. Look with me again now at Genesis 35, and let's read some more in this context. God tells Jacob, "Arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar," in verse 1. And then in verse 2, Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you, and purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone." I want you to notice that God kept His word. God was with Jacob the whole way. God said, "I'll be with you," and God was with him. And Jacob knew that God had been with him. And so it says in verse 4, "They gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob." Jacob had a lot of respect here for God's command. He knew that if he was going to get back to Bethel and do it right, he was going to have to make some changes. God wasn't the one that needed to change. God wasn't the one who'd wandered away from the relationship. Jacob and his household were the ones who needed to make changes. Jacob caused his family to cast away their idols. You might remember earlier the story of Rachel and the stolen household idols that she had with her as they departed from her home country back in Genesis chapter 31. So apparently Jacob's household had been involved in the idolatry of the land, at least to some degree. But now they have to cast those idols away, and they give them all over to Jacob. Our idols must also go if we're going to go back to God. You see, the thing that's pulling us away from Him and keeping us in a place that is unpleasant spiritually, more than likely, is our idols. That's what's causing us to be where we are, in a place that's not good spiritually. John warns at the very end of his first epistle, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Do not love the world or the things in the world," he said earlier in that epistle. "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." All the things that steal our love and devotion from God must be removed from our lives. Paul puts it this way in the beautiful introduction to Colossians chapter 3, where he says in verse 1, "If then you were raised together with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." You want to get back to God, you're going to have to give that up. The covetousness, the materialism of this world, the other things mentioned in the passage like sexual immorality and uncleanness or filthy-mindedness or passion and evil desire, those things that are keeping you in a bad place spiritually are the very things that you need to be able to turn away from to get back to God. I'm impressed with the household of Jacob. They realized that they were going to Bethel, to the house of God, and they needed to get rid of those idols. I'm just really afraid that too many Christians today think that we can come back to the house of God and be in a good relationship with God and still keep our idols. And you can't do it. You can't do it. They cast away their idols. They cleanse themselves. They wash themselves. A dirty life hinders worship, doesn't it? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer, Psalm 66 and verse 18 says. But a clean life enables worship, enables us to come before God in a way that He appreciates and that is real and right. The psalmist asked the question in Psalm 24 and verses 3 and 4, Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may dwell in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. There's the person who can come back to God. There's the person who can worship God. You notice that Jacob's household cast away their idols, they cleansed themselves, they changed their dress. They couldn't wear the same old clothes they'd been wearing. James chapter 1 and verse 27 teaches us that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. God doesn't want us coming into His courts with filthy garments when He's provided us with clean ones. He wants us to receive and get forgiveness from our sins. They change their dress. This world and all the things that are embraced by it must be rejected by the child of God, the one who would get close to Him. And yes, that literally might include clothing styles, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. Another thing that's instructive about what the household of Jacob did in getting back to God is that they got rid of their worldly attachments and temptations permanently. You know what Jacob did with those idols? You see in the text what he did? He buried them. It reminds me of Acts chapter 19 where Paul is in Ephesus and all of those Ephesians repent and they turn to God and they have all these books of sorcery and magic. And you remember the story, they pile all of the books up and they burn them. They just get rid of all of that stuff. And so it is in coming back to God, friend and neighbor, I don't know what it is maybe in your life that's pulled you away from Him, but whatever it is, leave it behind. Give it up. And burn the bridge that can get you back to it. Bury it. Bury it so that you might come back to the right relationship with God and stay there. Jacob obeyed God's commands. He did what God asked him to do. And in Genesis chapter 35, verses 6 and 7, it says that Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, that is God's house of God. He called the place El Bethel because there God appeared to him when he had fled from the face of his brother. There are places in this world that I enjoy being. And there are places in this world that you've been. And if you're of any age at all, maybe that you've enjoyed being, but you will never go there again. But there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, where if we are Christians, that's where we started. And in so many ways, that's where we need to go back to. I remember. Do you? I remember the day I became a Christian. It was a long, long time ago. But I remember the day. And I remember rising up from the waters of baptism, seeing the lights over the baptistry through watery eyes still as the water fell off of my eyes. And I remember the feeling at that moment. I want that feeling for the rest of my life. I want to live at Bethel, in the house of God. Don't you? We're about to sing a song. And if you need to come back to the house of God, there'd be no better time to do it than right here and right now. If you're a Christian, you've wandered away. If there are things you need to let go of them. Renounce them. And name the name of Jesus again. Confess your faults. And we'll pray with you and for you. And God will forgive you. And you can be back and be right with Him. And maybe somebody this morning's never been in His house, really. Never had a relationship with Him. God has great promises for you, even as He did for Jacob. He has great things He wants to do in your life. You need to take Him as your God. You need to commit to dwelling in His house and letting Him be your God. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.